Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following is a special presentation of KMOX.
It's something you never, I guess, can get out of completely once you're into it. I've often thought about that. If you weren't in broadcasting, what would you do? And it suddenly dawns on people like me, at least, I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So you become a broadcaster.
Exactly.
And you do that, but...
The same feeling.
It's not really something you can move laterally into another field, is there?
I mean, Jim White with his light, humorous touch.
No, I really don't have any qualms about being 41. I said it, 41 years old.
Have you been holding back all night?
No.
Well, it's a good age to be, I would imagine.
Well, you know, I'd like to quote Burt Reynolds here, if I might. He just recently kind of bowed out of the Gator-type movies, and he said he's ready to lead the quiet intellectual life and become a director, and as Burt explains it, you can only hold your stomach in for so many years.
Jim was total opposite from what people thought he was. He would come on, and people would think, oh, he'd be rude, he would cut people off.
Former KMOX newsman Bob Hamilton had many opportunities to work with Jim White over the late-night shift. He had a certain reputation to uphold, one that was a little different at home, as explained by his wife, Pat.
Jim was pretty much himself all the time, but on the air, I think that he was perceived as grumpy sometimes because he would hang up on people if they got boring, and he was not like that in person, but he was a quiet person. Everyone expected him to be a big talker in parties and things like that, and he was more of a guy who would stand back and wait for you to tell him something.
Of his 30 years at KMOX, 20 of those were spent at night, and Jim White was always one of the most listened to voices on the air, easily number one in his time slot between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., and often beyond. Even to this day, he's fondly remembered for his wit and style. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and this is our special tribute to one of the most memorable radio personalities in St. Louis history.
The Big Bumper, Jim White.
What if Santa Claus is blue? Who cheers up Santa Claus? What if Santa Claus is sad? He still must smile. A Santa who's grim, he might as well be slim. Oh, Santa Claus, he cannot be blue.
He was a big guy, and if you were close to him, he would tower over you. And then he'd look down on you like that. But he was sweet. He was very soft-spoken, off the air, easy to talk to. You just had to give him a chance, get to know him, and you would like him.
There she was before me, wearing fancy gloves. We danced and fell in Christmas love.
Carol, I feel like going into town buying a jar of pickled herring and a fresh box of salt crackers and maybe some ginger ale to Help me burp. You need anything?
To get out of your way when that burp happens.
Jim was very shy. He was friendly enough. He was not a real friendly guy. Wasn't a guy full of compliments. I think he was always a little... I don't think he had a lot of self-confidence. And no one did.
And as Charlie Brennan explained, that seemed to be a common trend among the KMOX radio personalities of the era. Explained by Pat.
I very proud of the work he did. Very into making it as good as he could make it. But it was also Mr. Hyland always said to Jim right before we were going to take off on a vacation, he said, well, we've got to talk about your career when you get back. So with that kind of a codependent situation, you know, you were never, ever, ever sure that you were going to be there forever.
I used to do the sports. There was a midnight extended sportscast, which I delivered in the middle of Jim White's overnight show.
This is KMOX legend and sportscaster Bob Costas.
Jim was a terrific broadcaster who recognized that the nighttime audience was different than Jack Carney's audience in the morning or Bob Hardy's audience during drive time or even the audience that Jack Buck generally addressed at night on a Cardinal broadcast. It's a different tone, a different vibe, and Jim was perfect for that. And could handle a wide variety of topics, silly and serious. And I would come in and rattle off the scores with some details, and then he and I would just engage in a conversation, mm-hmm. never scripted. Sometimes I'd stay for an hour or two. Sometimes it was just 5 or 10 minutes.
When I first started, I didn't know much about Bob. He was supposed to do the midnight sports. He'd always be running late. He would run in at the last minute and grab the sports from the news guy and then go right in there and not even look at the scores before he went on. Then he'd go in the room, read his scores, and then Jim would have him wait around and they would do trivia. Sometimes they asked one of the newsmen to go in and do trivia with them. And Bob was fantastic at it. Jim is one of the first ones that let Bob do things other than sports. Jack Carney allowed him to, but so did Jim.
It's pretty timeless, and I think that he came across as very real. Although I will tell you, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, the person that he was off the air was very different when he was on the air. I mean, he came across, you know, a little bit gruff on the air. You know, we've already established how I am tonight. Thank you. We are done. You know, that kind of thing.
If you have a comment to make about the way I do the program, it's boring. It's of no use to anybody else and no interest. So let's dismiss it. Have you heard a word I have said? What engine do you have in that Toyota?
I don't know what engine.
Good night. Hi, this is Jim.
Jim, I think you were rude to that girl.
Good night.
He wasn't like that in real life. He was like a big teddy bear.
Well, could you give us an example of hollering?
Right. I have one all set here. This is Dewey's brother. O.B. Jackson,
O.B.
Near Spivey's Corner here.
Yeah, hold the phone real close there.
How was that?
Monday through Friday, The Night Side on KMOX St. Louis.
More Jim White coming up next on KMOX.
This is a KMOX Radio special presentation.
Looking back at the career of Jim White, the Big Bumper, I'm your host, Ryan Recker.
And the nighttime was the man that goes bump in the night, and that was Jim White. Mm-hmm. And Jim, who also unfortunately passed away a few years ago, was a guy who had come from Pittsburgh and worked at KDKA mm-hmm. in Pittsburgh and other stations, actually as a top 40 jock back in the 60s, and he arrived at KMOX, I believe, in 1969, was doing programming and news work and all kinds of things, and then ended up doing a talk show. And the talk show was on from 10 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's former KMOX manager Tom Langmeier. Before KDKA in Pittsburgh, Jim White even worked at a music station. And if you're wondering what that sounded like.
And have harmony in your home.
WKAS 1320.
Hang in there for fun, Telebass. Rescue me. Fontella Bass, I think I'll name all my kids after. Oh, really? Hang on, Floopy, hang on. Number 11 on the 1 Plus 32 survey this week. First week on the list. I don't know how they do it. Here on the Jim White Show, the Big J on Brand J, rolling up until 6:30 on the Weather Hour. We have.
I heard that when he, for a while before I started, he was program director, news director, and on the air until he couldn't do it anymore. And they really needed someone because before they hired him, they really needed someone. And Bob Hardy, I heard, discovered Jim on the air in KDKA in Pittsburgh. And then Mr. Hyland got in touch with him and hired him.
He was mostly news. I don't think that there was any talk guest kind of thing. It was just he was just a newsman there.
This building was one of the main reasons that, frankly, I came to St. Louis almost 27 years ago, which makes me a kid by some standards.
You came here from Pennsylvania?
Yeah, 1969.
You went to school at Penn State?
Yeah, KDK in Pittsburgh was where I was before I came here, and now here I am 27 years later working for Westinghouse again.
Oh, that's right. KDK still belongs to Westinghouse, does it?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. I might still have something in the retirement fund. Who knows?
I'll be darned.
The reason I came here, really, was mentioned Bob Hardy was more responsible for me being here than anybody else, the late Bob. I went into work at KDK one day, had a phone message hanging on the bulletin board that said, Jim White, call Bob Hardy at KMOX in St. Louis, which immediately tipped everybody off something was going on. But, you know, he was news director down here at the time. But I didn't know much about the station. I'd heard it a couple of times, and they flew me down here. Bob was working about 27 hours a day then, and I remember he was appealing to Mr. Hyland to get some help, and Mr. Hyland said to him, well, I'm too busy. You find somebody.
Bob Hardy was instrumental in getting Jim to be interviewed for that job. Bob, now this is the funny part of the story, is he says, I was having a fight with my wife, and she kicked me out of the bedroom, and I was in the living room listening, going around the dial, listening to other people, and I heard this guy coming out of Pittsburgh, because KDKA was also a 50,000-watt clear channel station. So he listened to Jim on the air and said, boss, to Mr. Hyland, you got to listen to this guy, and he looks like KMOX material. Thanks to having a fight with his wife, was able to facilitate our coming to St. Louis.
Here's the recruitment of Jim White's story from Bob Hardy's point of view.
You were in your living room tuning around on the radio.
Well, I was about 10 years and 4 weeks and 3 days ago tonight.
Bob Hardy, how are you?
And I was getting ready to go to bed, and I was remembering what Bob Hyland had said. And he said, you know, so we sure would like to have a guy, somebody, we need somebody. And if you know of anybody. Well, anyway, I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and I was dial twiddling and having my last cup of coffee before I went to sleep. And I found this strange voice coming out of the little black box. And it was I think the guy said he was working for a radio station in Pittsburgh. KWK, I think that was it. Something
well,
like KDKA or something like that. I don't remember. Anyway, we listened to this fellow for about 4 or 5 nights in a row, and I suggested to the boss that maybe he'd like to listen to him, and he did. And we put a phone call into this young fellow and said, you know, it'd be a great idea if maybe you'd come down and consider our place to go to work. And he said, well, that might not be a bad idea. And sure enough, a couple of weeks later, he came down. And about 3 weeks after that, he signed up with us. Now, that was 10 years and 4 weeks and 3 days ago tonight. The guy's name was Jim White, and he's been with us ever since. And we're doggone proud to have him.
He was flown out to St. Louis from Pittsburgh to interview with Mr. Hyland. Came home and said, this is really great, and they want to give me so much money, and wow, this is great. Well, we were thinking it was pretty great because we had a new baby, and it looked like a wonderful, although we didn't want to leave Pittsburgh because it was near Jim's family, but we thought, why not? This is going to be great. So he goes into KDKA and says, now I have an offer here that kind of is more lucrative than what you're paying me, and I really want to stay in Pittsburgh, but what can you do for me here? And the station manager was so angry that he would even think of leaving KDKA that he said, you're fired. And Jim very quickly went to the office and got the severance pay and left. Then he never heard from Hyland for weeks went by. And it's just like, what have we done? And anyhow, eventually Mr. Hyland did call and we want you here now, blah, 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 blah. And we hopped in our little Volkswagen and drove to St. Louis, and the rest is history. But we really were scared to death.
First time was 1977. And then Mr. Hyland wanted me to come in all the time. And I did shows with Bob Hardy. Bob was a dear friend of mine, even before he got into broadcasting. But we go way, way back. So Hardy was a really good friend. And, of course, Jim was too.
And even going back to the early years, sound and radio engineer Bob Heil spent many nights in the KMOX studio with Jim White.
He was extremely friendly to those he liked and those he didn't. One thing about him also is when you would meet with him outside, when we'd be out in public or at his house or whatever, he was really quite shy. And this is true for almost all radio people. They're very, very quiet and shy. But the minute that red light came on, look out. It was the big bumper, and that was another fun thing about Jim.
His hobbies, his interests, his stories. It's all about the big bumper, Jim White. It will continue next on KMOX.
This is a KMOX radio special presentation
with stories and memories of the big bumper. Jim White, I'm your host, Ryan Recker.
Of course, the first At Your Service broadcast was you, and they gave us some cuts here to share with the audience tonight. I noticed the cut they selected for you is an interview you did with Eleanor Roosevelt, and we'll get to that in a few minutes here, but the cut they got from me was interviewing the Happy Hooker. I get no respect.
You know, I heard earlier today an interview with an interview that you conducted, what was it, 1972, Jim, with Xavier Hollander, who is the author of The Happy Hooker on KMOX Radio.
Most nervous night of my life.
And I hear that was the night that you got the name The Big Bumper. That name, Big Bumper, was considered risque by one of your employers, remember?
Well, the employer, yeah, Robert Hyland. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he didn't quite understand it.
I remember the ruckus afterwards, and I couldn't quite figure out what all the fuss was about. Robert Hyland called me into his office and said, whose idea was it to put her on? And I said, it was yours, sir, all.
This was the Happy Hooker?
This was Vera Hollander.
I missed that one.
I wish I had.
Listening to the voice of St. Louis, KMOX Radio.
10 minutes past 9, KMOX Radio time, as we continue with At Your Service on a Monday evening. And in the studios with me now, as promised earlier, Xaviera Hollander, author of a book known as The Happy Hooker, and psychiatrist Dr. Jack Eidelman. We welcome you both to our studios, and I haven't the vaguest idea what we're going to talk about this evening. We may turn this place into a parking lot before the night's over, but hopefully we'll be able to talk over the subject matter at hand in an academic manner. We've talked about virtually everything else. And the book came along, and we had the opportunity to talk with Miss Hollander, invited Dr. Eidelman along to talk about perhaps some of the emotional points of view here.
Dance around it, Jim.
Our studios, and we understand that Severa will not be with us too much longer.
I hope I will, but Immigration Department is not too willing to let me stay in this country. It would be too bad after I've been a call girl or a madam afterwards for about two and a half years, which is a sinful profession in the sense of the American mentality and the laws, the rather outdated laws, I would say. But I have changed my career. I have written a book, even though it's called The Happy Hooker, and it's about a hooker, about a career of a madam who then got involved in police corruption and payoffs. And
well, we get the gist of that one. The times do change. That was 25 years ago. Today we say, well, we have a hooker in the studio with us. Yeah,
yeah, better you than me. A hooker. Call girl. I like
call girl, yeah.
I've never known a call girl in my life. I may give a girl $100 or so for a cab fare.
Well, we wouldn't have done that 25 years ago either. But, it's interesting because Dr. Eidelman, the psychiatrist, was in there because this was Robert Hyland's idea. If we put a late in the evening on the air, we're in
trouble. Hyland had and was very responsible for the after service format. I think that he wanted control over that and what was going on his airwaves. So when Jim was doing what he was doing, he and the ratings were such that it proved that it was working, there was a little bit of a meeting between Mr. Hyland and Jim, and Jim said, give me a month or however long it was to prove that this is the way to do this. He said, or I'll leave if you don't want me to do my shtick. But after this conversation, obviously the ratings were such that he proved his point.
That was his wife, Pat. Also, St. Louis radio historian Frank Absher.
Mr. Hyland had a term that he used regarding how a host conducted at your service. It was back fencing, and Jim was the only host who was allowed to back fence. And what that amounted to was Jim could converse with the caller and carry on a conversation. The rest of the time, you would say, hello, you're on the air, and the caller would ask a question. You could maybe banter for a couple of seconds saying, now, is this exactly what you mean? Then after you finish, that caller was cut off and the guest was allowed to answer. Jim was allowed to back fence. And if you did it, you would be asked not to do it anymore because that's not what he wanted at your service to be.
Now, Hyland called back fencing when you talked to a listener too long. Mm-hmm. But he didn't like that. He liked the callers in and out. And Jim White, yeah, he would really tussle with the listeners and hang up on them. And it was very entertaining.
That's, of course, Charlie Brennan. Now, longtime Jim White radio producer Elaine Stern on what you could expect during one of his programs.
A good mixture of politics, trivia, current news. A lot of it was directed towards the St. Louis scene, what was happening in this town he was most interested in.
Jim, with all his, excitement and hanging up on people and making them think and everything. Then Jim would leave and John McCormick would come in with a super mellow, soothing voice.
Long time KMOX newsman Bob Hamilton.
Robert Hyland told me this one time that what he did, his programming was that Jim White would be on at night after the ball game or 10 o'clock or whatever. And then he would go till, I think, 1 or 2 in the morning. And then John McCormick would come in. And what it was a gimmick to push the cume, push the ratings. I don't think anybody ever thought of this, but he did, and it worked well.
The listeners would, if we were out at some kind of promotional event or charity event or something, people would come up to me and say, and take my hand and pat it and say, I go to bed with your husband every night. And they laughed because they thought they were the only ones who had thought of that line. But they loved it. But I go to bed with your husband every night.
436-7900, our St. Louis phone number. From Illinois, 397-8600, Enterprise 9808. And let's get back to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How are you?
Fine. I just thought it was funny when they came out with the Harvey Wallbanger, and it became quite a thing. Now, do you know what is in this drink called a Freddy Fudpucker that is put out by Crap Handles?
Okay, thank you. No, we're not even allowed to talk about that on the radio. So, even if I did know, I couldn't tell you. I'm not supposed to mention drinks like that. At least I'm not supposed to. Not even sure if we're supposed to mention the name of that restaurant.
He preferred callers to guests. He had a couple of regular guests, Bill Little, a minister and counselor, and Dave Strauss, too, the trivia man. Unfortunately, he passed away, but we had a lot of fun with him. And Bob Heil, the high-tech guy. He loved having both of them on, and Heil especially, because Heil could talk to him about the latest equipment. And Bill and Bob were both really outgoing, very good guests.
He knew a lot of things, knew about some things. He didn't know everything about everything, of course, but he did know something about a lot of subjects. Once in a while, we'd talk about ham radio like crazy. Other times, he was very technical, so we'd talk about some of the new technologies coming out.
Thanks for calling. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, as far as Muhammad Ali is concerned, he was a conscientious objector when it came to the war. But as far as his being a conscientious objector when it came to making the millions and millions of dollars that he has made, you didn't hear any problems in that regard. And I think any one of us would be most happy to pay the taxes that one would have to pay when you make that kind of money. At least I, as an American citizen, would be very grateful to make that money or to have the opportunity of making that kind of money and paying those taxes. Thank you.
Well, don't you have the same opportunity he had? You still there? You still there, sir? I mean, you talk about opportunity. He was in Louisville, Kentucky.
And there was a form we had to fill out saying, did we have, how many calls did we have? Like half a board of calls, a quarter, a full board. It was just me counting. Sometimes Jim could get full boards the whole night.
Which would equate to how many calls?
Maybe 10 on the board at the same time.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if they were out of town also, you could get probably up to 12. Mm-hmm. We had some out-of-town lines. We got all over the country. So we were getting calls all the time, even outside the country at times.
Good afternoon.
Well, we're on the air here.
And I am in the air.
I beg your pardon?
I am in the air.
You're in the air.
Yes, calling you from 39,000, passing by St. Louis in about 2 minutes. Inbound to Tokyo.
Wait a minute. Inbound to Tokyo?
Yes, sir, indeed.
This is Missouri.
I know, yes. Well, we're stopping off in Spokane and then on to Tokyo. And I have with me a flight engineer from St. Louis, a Miss Watson. That should say something for the ERA.
A Miss Watson flight engineer?
Yes, indeed. And WKMOX, and are listening now. And we have it on our Channel 7, so the passengers can hear your splendid voice.
Jim knew how to generate calls. He could just sit down. He didn't even have to think about what he was going to talk about ahead of time. He would just sit down. He could just read headlines from USA Today, and people would start calling. It was like they were just waiting for him to just bring up something because they wanted to talk to him. They wanted to brag that they had talked to Jim White.
We'll be speaking to you before then with an open line about we were talking about Christmas presents and the Christmas present you don't want to get this year. Maybe we'll save that for another time. But if you want to talk about that or anything else, feel free to call us, and we'll be back right after Mike Wallace.
I think during the day it was much more serious, many more serious topics like Bob Hardy and Ann Keefe covered. But Jim, we could cover rock and roll, anything, to minutia. Usually he didn't like to handle really, really serious topics. It was more loose. We could just do what we wanted. It was like a different radio station. Yeah. It was just a very free, not free experience. I could suggest something, and then he could suggest something.
I do know that when the second baby came along, I got the most wonderful, wonderful letters from the listeners. It was because these listeners thought of us as part of their family, and that was nice. That was a nice thing.
We'll continue with the KMOX Jim White special next.
This is a KMOX radio special presentation.
Looking back at the legacy of the big bumper, Jim White. I'm your host, Ryan Recker.
Hello, Jim. This is Jack Carney, and I know it's your 10th anniversary, and I wanted to be in the studio in person to wish you a happy anniversary, but you know this is the day before St. Patrick's Day, and I'm out getting a few things done before the parade tomorrow, so I thought I'd just take this little opportunity to wish you happy 10th anniversary. I have a lot of respect for Jim White, folks. I have to tell you that. This is a courageous broadcaster. This is a man who doesn't know the meaning of the word fear. There are lots of words he doesn't know. He doesn't know taste. He doesn't know chair, table, a book. He's got a lot of problems. But Jim, quiet, Clarence. But Jim, I'll tell you something. It's an accomplishment, spending 10 consecutive years doing what you're doing. We don't know, most of us, what that is. I think that's why you've lasted for 10 years, Jim. We've been waiting for you to start something. Clarence, try. No, it's late for you to try and stay up, will you? So, Jim, honestly, a very, very happy 10th anniversary. And let me just add this, my friend. As Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool all of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time. But when you've got 50,000 watts and a beautiful wife, you can get away with it for 10 years. Happy anniversary, Slim.
He had been doing news and everything in Pittsburgh, but I can remember vividly the first show. And you know how when you're a newbie in a station, they have to initiate you. And they gave him a piece of copy that he was supposed to write about an incident on the corner of De Bolivar and De Giverville. I can't even say it. He didn't know how to pronounce De Bolivar and De Giverville or whatever it was. I'm sure all the people who were listening in on this in the station were laughing at him because he didn't know how to pronounce it, anything.
He was very calm. He was very much at ease behind the microphone. It was his little kingdom. Not too many people came back there. It was a small studio. It was the one that Jack Carney used to work out of. He didn't like a lot of distractions. People, all, you know, like during the day, they were all walking around past the glass. That's why he liked nights. That was one reason he liked nights. Because it was mostly just me and him and the callers. And he could really concentrate.
KMOX was really rare in that it was a 50,000-watt clear channel. And so we covered 44 states. We couldn't get to this California and Oregon out there because of the mountains. But by golly, that baby went, and we heard from all over the country. And I would get letters. We really didn't have a lot of internet or email at the time, but we'd get letters and cards and all kinds of stuff from people. We also would get people from South America. I've gotten some from Europe because once in a while KMOX would reach there, depending on about the atmospheric conditions. But it was a powerhouse.
He could just sit back and let them come to him. He didn't have to work for it or make anything up. He used to, if he didn't get enough calls besides reading the headlines, it was called Letters from Iowa. And he says, okay, if you don't call, I'm going to start reading these letters from Iowa. They were really boring letters he got from somewhere in Iowa, and he had bought them or something, and he would just start reading them, and people would just keep calling until the board was full, and it didn't take very long.
Here's some facts for you. When we would hit the air 10 o'clock at night for, 3 or 4 hours, the ratings were 33. Now, what that meant was 33% of the radios in North America was tuned to Jim White. Arbitron tells you that.
For many broadcasters, the show ratings were a thing of importance, it was something of pride, and it meant that people liked you. With huge ratings in hand, is it something that Jim White would brag about?
To me, he would. and or he'd bring the news people in or sports and say, come here, look at this, look at this, look at those ratings. You could never get those kind of ratings anymore, I think, because of all the competition. He could probably still do a great job, but I'm not sure if they would be as high as they used to be. But he would carry the whole station sometimes on his back. His ratings were so high that during the day, if the ratings weren't as high, he would make up for it. So the whole station would still be number one.
You're on KMOX Radio. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello there.
I just wanted to say that I've been listening to your program for the last hour or hour and a half as I was washing my hair. And I heard a lot of comments, and just wanted to say that I saw that you were really in a big hornet's nest right in the middle of it all.
I'm used to it.
I just wanted to congratulate you and tell you that I think you're pretty brave to handle all that.
I don't have any choice. They have me locked in here till 11 o'clock. They have time locks on this place, like safes in the bank. At 11 o'clock, the door opens and I can get out. But until that time, they have my arms taped down here and they keep plugging the phone in.
Do they really?
No.
Yeah,
no.
But the thing is
that's what the program's all about.
How you handle all that, though. I mean, I just think it's something they have to go through, you know, with all the different smart aleck comments and stuff.
That's what the program's all about. That's what this country's all about.
Well, I think you handle it good anyway.
Well, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Good evening. You're on the air.
I'm Mr. White.
Uh-huh.
The voice of St. Louis really was, when Jim White was on the air, every walk of life would call in and have the opportunity to say their mind. Don't go anywhere. In the next hour of this Jim White special, we're going to talk about his hobbies, his passions, his family, and you, the listener, his friends, tell the stories that you remember from the Big Bumpers years at KMOX. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We'll be right back.
The following is a special presentation of KMOX.
Looking back at the Big Bumper, Jim White, who dominated the St. Louis airwaves for over 20 years with his show every weeknight on KMOX. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. In this hour, I want to look at some of his hobbies, his passions, his motivations, and the stories as remembered by you, the listener.
He was an intense person, too. He would really put a lot into it. He did other things. He was a teddy bear. You know, he would cut people off and so forth. But he was not mean. He got me going into ham radio. And I still have a couple of old telegraph keys that he gave me in my living room. In fact, I have one of the old tubes, transmitter tubes from KMOX. Big, huge thing, looked like a watermelon.
That's KMOX newsman Bob Hamilton. A voice you would hear with Jim White many times over the years is one of radio engineer and sound engineer Bob Heil, who also shared a passion for ham radio.
I was on the road all the time and doing the audio for these bands that I worked with. That was always something that I had to deal with, and I couldn't be there all the time. But Mr. Hyland wanted me to come in and be part of the show, and we were. We had a really neat thing going, called it High Tech Heil, that segment. We did it every Wednesday for sure, because Wednesdays I wasn't on the road with the groups. Any other time, who knows? And a lot of times I'd just call in from somewhere. Jim and I were ham radio operators, and we did some fun things.
He loved ham radio. He was a ham. During breaks, he would get on his ham radio. Instead of resting his voice, he always had his ham radio with him. A lot of the engineers were hams, so they all could talk ham talk.
Well, he had a handy talkie, you know, a little handheld thing. But we couldn't do much between breaks because we got into all the audio gear with it.
And on those segments, you probably heard about the new trends in technology, like this instance from February of 1990.
So here we are. Bob Heil is here, and we're going to talk High Tech Heil. We'll just stay with that, and we have things to talk about. Lots of toys for big girls and boys, right, Robert?
that continues on.
Hello, on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Bob about multi-track recorders because I have a four-track studio here at the house, and I was also wanted to ask him about what he thought about the compact disc versus...
And back to the calls for you. Hi, on the air.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Bob, I got a question about dual-deck VCRs. I understand Samsung is going to come in.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Two hopefully quick questions for you. One is for telephone answering machines. What should I be looking for? I mean, besides date, time, and not a long pause.
Again, the cheapest price is not always the best buy.
And if you get one, do something interesting and innovative on the message. Don't give us one of those. I'm sorry, we can't come to the phone right now, but if you'll leave a message when you hear the beep. I have one on mine. Well, I change mine periodically. It's a challenge. What I do on mine, this is a dirty trick. Rings four times and the phone answers. You hear, hello. Person on the other side says, hi, how are you? Very good. Hey, good to hear from you. Pause. And then I said, I bet you thought you were really talking to me, but I'm not here. This is a dumb answering machine. And the response I'm getting on the other end is kind of funny.
You probably get better responses than if you had one in there that said, wait till the beep.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. So do something innovative. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question about the tool... VCR.
About out of time. Bob, good to see you again. Craig, thanks for stopping by.
You're
over at the home show till when?
I'll be there until Friday, and the equipment will be there all weekend.
Okay. Stop over and have a look at that. Come right out of your house. On the top of your RV.
No more boring television. Oh. Lots of neat things up there.
See you soon.
Thanks, Jim.
I'm Jim White, and I'll be back here, and we're going to stir up a few things, a few leftovers from last night, and a few brand new things. So don't you leave till I tell you it's okay.
CBS and KMOX News keep you informed 24 hours a day. Stay tuned to 1120 KMOX Radio, St. Louis.
CBS News, I'm Bill Vitka. A strong earthquake rattles California, measured about 5 points.
And what's really fun, this is really fun. We go to Hamfest, the kind of local little ham shows, you know, little conventions. But we wanted to go as hams. Just like Joe and I will go to some of these big conventions, and we just want to be hams. It's tough because everybody wants, how's this, how that, you know, oh, I love your new album, and oh, I listen to you every night, you put me to sleep, and all that kind of crap.
This is former KMOX general manager Tom Langmeyer.
Jim was a guy who had lots of interests. He had a boat that he had, and he was a ham radio operator. He was very interested in science and politics and, you know, people, places and things, and was really a pioneer and sort of more open line kind of talk in the country, and was very, very successful. And during his run was always number one.
But aside from boating, Jim was a ham radio operator. Yeah. And then he built train layouts. He loved trains. He always said, never trust anyone who doesn't have at least two hobbies.
That was Jim's wife, Pat. This was something new I learned about the Big Bumper. One of his other passions is explained by Elaine Stern, his producer.
He loved barbershop quartets. In fact, he sang in barbershop quartets, I think back in Pittsburgh. And there was a barbershop quartet that would win awards, national awards from St. Louis. Sometimes he would bring them in and he would sing with them. It was really very entertaining.
We have a little bit of a disturbance going on here at Deerdorf and Hearts tonight. They called security, and security took one look and ran out the door. You probably know already what we're up to here. About 300 pounds apiece, I'd say. A group called the Expanded Sound, a group which, any tickets left for the Friday, Saturday shows?
There is probably 20 or 30 per night.
20 That's to 30 per night. Okay, we'll give the phone numbers on that and get somebody out of bed a little bit later. There's a group called the Expanded Sound. They are, I wish you could all be here to see this, but you can't. You're going to have to hear them on the radio, and we're going to turn it over to them, and let's see what they do. Bum, 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 bum
that the toys for good girls and boys are being made and planned. There's a truck for little Billy and a dolly for Molly dear. But you ain't getting diddly squat because you really screwed up this year.
Thank you, gentlemen. Expanded Sound, and they will be appearing Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night at Harrisville College as part of the holiday show. We have the another group coming on here. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. That coming down here after you know, it's just kind of unnerving just to have gone through a play where we sang and danced, and then we run across professionals.
His boat was a favorite topic. He was usually there on the weekends, and he craved that time. And he wasn't really into sports. Although he appreciated sports in St. Louis, he wasn't a sports guy. But he was really into St. Louis trivia events.
It seems like every time Jim White's name is brought up, somehow we always talk about turkeys. That and many more memories of the Big Bumper coming up next on this Jim White special on KMOX.
This is a KMOX radio special presentation.
Looking back at the career and legacy of the one and only Jim White, the Big Bumper, here on KMOX, I'm your host, Ryan Recker.
You know, he had some tremendous guests on his show. He used to interview Masters and Johnson and Stephen King, and they were all on in the middle of the night. And one time, Jim White was on the air, and he was telling his listeners, you know what, I love my job, but I'd rather have the job of Charles Kuralt going all across America and meeting people. And the next call was from Montana, and it was Charles Kuralt. And he said, right now, I'm standing in 3 feet of snow. I wish I had your job.
Whenever we talk about Jim White on KMOX, the phone lines would ring for hours with memories rolling in about the Big Bumper.
My memory of Jim White was the bicentennial in 1976. I was a 16-year-old kid living in South St. Louis, and my family and I had been to some kind of fireworks display, and we were listening to Jim White late night on that night. It got to be midnight, and he was just going on about how great the bicentennial was and 200 years and everything, and he said, just go outside. Think about what's been going on for 200 years around the United States. Scream out loud, say, hey, I love America. I'm happy to be here, and all this stuff. I remember that to this day. I mean, I was a 16-year-old kid. We had him on the radio, and it was cool. It was the coolest thing ever.
I remember when I was younger, and my dad was, the radio was always on KMOX. Mm-hmm. And I remember Jim White one time. I remember him asking a guy, he called in right away, and he said, I'm from Champaign, Illinois. And Jim White said, wait a minute now. Are you calling from Champaign, Illinois, or are you drinking champagne in Illinois?
Jim had some friend who was in San Francisco. This is when, you got to remember, the 70s and 80s, stuff didn't always go across country as easy as it does now. Jim had a friend who owned a bakery in San Francisco, and this guy could ship his bread to Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And Jim then had another friend who owned a plane in Oklahoma City, and he would bring it to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And you could call up Jim White and say, two loaves, three loaves, whatever. And it would be available. And he would get the bread to come up, and like 2 days later, he came up to St. Louis, and he bought the bread.
Ted Drews had a favorite ice cream over there called the Jim White Special.
I wonder if Jim White enjoyed having food named after him.
Are you kidding? He loved it. Especially having food named after him. He loved food. And a lot of times if he said he was hungry on the air, somebody would send food to him. I'd have to go downstairs and get it. Or they would order it from a restaurant downtown and then send it over. A lot of times this one guy would call me and say, what do you guys want tonight? And I would tell him, and then he'd have it sent over from a restaurant downtown.
That must have been great.
It was. It was like a party most of the time. Almost every night I thought, okay, what's going to happen tonight? Let's party.
Jim White was honored at a couple of places around town, including one location where you can still see Jim on the menu today, the Concord Grill.
And he had his big picture there and everything. They had a giant inflatable when he was on top of their roof when he left St. Louis when we were moving to Alabama.
And since we have food on our mind, this brings us to perhaps the most famous and most memorable call. Whenever we talk about Jim White on KMOX, this always comes up.
Probably the old people at KMOX would remember, too. It's the night the lady called and said, I just want a good stuffing recipe, and I heard you had a good stuffing recipe. Well, he did have a good stuffing recipe, and it involved popcorn and things you were put in, and then you stuffed the bird.
Uh-huh.
Well, he said put in so much popcorn. It was like 3 cups worth of popcorn. He didn't tell her to pop the popcorn first. So this lady stuffed this turkey with unpopped popcorn and everything. This was like real early in the night, like about 10 o'clock. Shoved it in the oven because she wanted it ready for the next day when they were having. And she called him back about 2 o'clock in the morning when this oven door had flown all the way across the kitchen, and her kitchen was on fire. And Jim White's like, how could you not make sure that you popped it first? And she's like, you didn't say pop it. You said just stuff it. It was the funniest thing I ever remember.
They really called in. That was a true story. And who's being maybe a little bit flippant and said, well, you know, just put the popcorn in, put the turkey in the oven, and it exploded. It literally blew up. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this was in the program you did President's Day, but Robert Hyland, the lady called, and she was just, you know, apoplectic. You know, my oven, it exploded, and the popcorn's all over the kitchen. And she called Robert Hyland, who, since he was there most of the time, he answered the phone. And he made Jim White go out to her house and take a Thanksgiving turkey.
That was KMOX newsman Bob Hamilton.
Jim never lied about any stories. When I was there, I never heard him lie or exaggerate anything.
Jim knew how to work his listeners. He was very, very familiar with their mentality, their approach, what they liked and disliked. And I was handling his news one night, and I walked in and just kind of sat there for a few minutes, and he hit the cough button because he had a caller who was droning on and on about something. He says, this is getting old. Watch this. So he kind of wrapped up the caller, got the caller off the air, sat back in his chair, which was easy for him to do because he couldn't get close to the microphone. He was rather portly. And he says, you know, today I had lunch with an old friend. I say old. He's actually a little older than I am. And he wanted me to see pictures of his grandson. He pulled out these pictures of the baby. I looked at those pictures. I got to say, all babies are ugly. The phones just blew circuits. Every light on this phone is lighting and blinking. So he had the rest of the hour finished because all these people are calling to berate him for what he had said. He knew they would.
That's St. Louis radio historian Frank Abcher. But that's not the only story that involves a turkey. Many people also remember this one.
A young bride who called up Jim White and wanted to know how to get the feathers off the turkey before she cooked it the next day.
Uh-huh.
Her husband had killed the turkey in October, and this was like November, and she had just thrown the whole bird into the freezer. Go get one down the grocery store. I've never seen anybody who actually had killed a bird. She'd never seen it other than coming from the butcher shop. She didn't know what else to do with it.
No, it really happened. It happened before I started, but I heard all about it. Do you know what happened?
Yeah.
The gal, her husband killed a turkey, and she tried to cook it with the feathers on it, and it caused a fire in their oven. And she called Jim in a panic, and he told her to get rid of it. So she went out and bought a fresh turkey, and he never knew it. The husband never knew that she went out and got a fresh turkey. and substituted it.
After those two turkey stories, I don't know why anyone would call in and ask for Jim White's recipes or cooking advice, but it happened again.
Last Saturday night, I went to a party, and this woman, after midnight, it was like a midnight brunch, and this woman served shrimp. The next morning at 7, I get a phone call, and she says, you'd better get to the hospital and have your stomach pumped.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh.
So I said, what are you talking about? And she said, I have a confession to make to you. And I said, well, go right ahead. And she said, last night, my icebox, something like this, my icebox was so full that I couldn't get the big bowl of shrimp in there. And she told me that she put this bowl of shrimp on her back porch to keep it cool out there.
Mm-hmm.
So help me, this is a true story. When she went out there to get the shrimp, she saw her cat fooling around in this bowl, and he had eaten just a little bit of it. She wanted, anyway, she brought it in, and she served it to us anyway, because that was like the main dish or whatever. The next morning, she's going out, I guess, to get her paper or something. She finds her cat dead on her doorstep. So right away, she thinks, well, it must have been the shrimp. She thought maybe it being on the back porch, not being cold enough, or just plain bad shrimp. So she calls and she says, to play it safe, you better get your stomach pumped.
I replayed that call one night, and a listener mentioned this.
I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg. That story, that entire plot is from an early Tom Selleck movie.
She poisoned us.
I can tell you that.
No, really. I'm serious. The casserole. The cat. The cat.
It's true.
Oh,
how could you fall in love with a murderer?
The movie is Her Alibi. It came out in 1989. This phone call was aired about a decade earlier. So I contacted the writer of the movie, Charlie Peters, and asked him if he was a fan of Jim White. He mentioned that, no, I haven't heard of the show, and that's one of those old wives' tales that have been around forever. I always wondered if Jim orchestrated that, or maybe someone was trying to put him on. More to come of the Big Bumper Jim White special. We'll talk about his love of Halloween and also his retirement from KMOX and his life after. Coming up next.
This is a KMOX radio special presentation.
Looking back at the Big Bumper, I'm your host, Ryan Recker.
Good evening. I am he who goes bump in the night. Name's Jim White.
You may remember there was one time of the year that Jim White really enjoyed, and it happens at the end of October.
We did at least three Halloween shows I can remember. One at a haunted restaurant in near Edwardsville, one at a haunted house in St. Louis, and one at Limp Mansion in the basement. But it got so cold down there. It's where they, I guess, where they used to keep the beer kegs. It got so cold, we had to leave early and come back to the studio because we were all so cold.
On Halloween, everybody always tried to find a haunted house somewhere. And
yes.
Store. Jim's the one who started that on Camel X.
Oh, that's neat.
He would go every Halloween. I mean, whatever day of the week it was, that's the day he went.
Yeah.
And they would go to some, I mean, I got scared so bad, I slept with my parents one night.
Welcome back, Creatures of the Night. The story that follows is a classic Halloween tale written by the late John Madson, outdoor writer on the staff of the Olin Conservation Department. It first appeared in the Alton Telegraph. John told some, it's true. You decide. I've said nothing about this before, for reasons that will be clear, but I must stay silent no longer. The time has come to warn the people of something terrible that may be abroad this time of year. Exactly five Halloweens ago, I was duck hunting alone on Calhoun Point. I stayed until quitting time, long after other hunters had gone. And there was less than an hour of daylight left when I began picking up my decoys. It was tough going, and of course it wasn't long before I took a wrong turn. The moon had come out just long enough to show me that I was off course, and I had begun a tight circle in the narrow slough coming under the trees and brush of the shoreline. As I did so, a great shadow swept over me, and I heard a powerful gust of wind through the trees. I looked up, expecting to see a cloud over the moon. It was no cloud. The wind was driven by a vast pair of wings, and at that same time, I smelled the foulest stench I have ever known. It was a carrion smell, the rotten smell of decay, like masses of dead snakes in a wet hollow. There is no other way to describe it, but it was not the sort of thing that is ever smelled by day. That's all I could make of it. Something huge, flying at me in the night, and the awful stink of it.
Because I was one of those creatures of the night that would, you know, that would go bump in the night.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the callers would remember this, but that was a lot of his phrases late, after midnight. And I'm still a young man. I'm only 58 years old, but I would stay up listening to those Cardinal games, and he would come on after the Cardinal games, and then, you know, and then you'd fall asleep for a couple hours, you'd wake up, and there would be Jim White on Camo X, and you would have those strange calls.
Happy Halloween. I'm Jim White. We're going to have CBS News.
He had a Dateline on Camo X, what they're looking for and everything on the Dateline and everything.
There used to be dating videos. People would call and basically describe themselves and what they were looking for and things like that. And he'd give them a number, and then he'd say, okay, anybody who wants to talk to number such and such, call our control board, and we will give you that number.
We did a Dateline show. I don't know if you knew about that. Every Friday night for a while, people would call up and get on the air and talk to themselves, to Jim, what they wanted to talk about themselves and who they were looking for in a date. And then if you were interested in that person, you could call another line. And there was another producer at that line who would give out numbers.
Hello, you're on KMOX Radio.
Hi, Mr. White.
Hi there.
Just wanted to tell you that my family enjoys all of you fine gentlemen on KMOX each and every day, and hope you keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Every night, it didn't have to be real special. It was just everyday occurrence with him that we'd do a fine show. He never stumbled. He was always a real pro. I can't say it was anything particularly special. It was just every night, it was consistently good. And I was proud to be part of it.
I wanted to ask you, well, you were talking about putting your shoes on and that?
Yeah.
I put my socks on.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
And then I put my pants on.
Uh-huh.
Then my shirt, then my shoes.
Okay, well, I hadn't really thought about the rest of it. Usually I put my socks on. No, I usually put my pants on, and then I put my sock and a shoe, and a sock and a shoe, then a shirt.
Oh, yeah?
Now, would you put a left shoe on or a right shoe first?
Well, I'm left-handed, so my left foot always goes first after I get... Well, I got to get my socks on, I go...
Yeah, well, but I'm right-handed, and I usually do my left shoe first.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm kind of ambidextrous, you know.
It's ambidextrous.
Yeah, okay. I never heard that term before.
I just made it up.
Oh, well, it sounds like a winner to me.
Okay, well, pay attention now, because if you get these things out of sync, it can ruin your day.
Oh, yeah, because I got to get dressed just right before I go to work, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was all Jim White, man. At night, you know, that baby was covering everywhere, and Jim and I had a great chemistry, and it was fun stuff.
With every other business and everything, things change and staff changes and whatever. He CBS did offer him a buyout, and because he'd been there so long, and we thought, oh, well, we can do that and go on our trip sooner. But we were very naive about that because we were not old enough to have Medicare and things like that. And it was just when we analyzed that buyout, that was the first time that Jim ever had a contract. They wanted him, the people at KMOX wanted him, not to accept this buyout. And in order to do that, they made it worth his while to stay three more years. Hmm. He was very anxious to go. He wanted to do the fun thing. He wanted to go off on the boat. And it was that being a radio talk show host was not the only thing he wanted in life. He wanted other things and to do things.
He and his wife, Pat, as soon as Jim retired while I was at KMOX, and we christened the studio, the Jim White studio, down back on Memorial Drive. That was his studio. He had his own studio that he did his show.
Jim White retirement and what that brought for him and his wife, Pat. That's how we conclude the special coming up next on KMOX.
I'm telling you, I'm going to miss you a lot. I go to bed every night listening to you.
That's scary. I hope you made some tapes.
I hope so, too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome back one last time to this Jim White special. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. In 1999, after 30 years with the station and 20-plus years doing the late-night show, Jim White was finally ready to retire and follow some of his other passions.
Family was everything.
He got a boat that was a seafaring boat. He could have gone on the ocean with it. So I don't think he could keep it in St. Louis. That's why I think they took it down to Gulf Shores. He got a bigger boat down there. And so he was retired for about 10 years before he passed away. So he had a good long retirement.
Loved his boat. That was a big deal, that boat. And Bob Hardy turned him into the boat. He got him interested in boating. But he always said, when I retire, I'm going to go around the circle. In other words, they take the boat, and it was big enough to do this, go down the Mississippi into the Gulf, go around Florida, come back up into the Straits, Canada, and come back down the New York byways, hit the Illinois River, then hit the Mississippi River and come back home. He had to hire a captain to do that. That was something that just had to be done to make it go.
30 years of broadcasting comes to an end tonight. A KMOX legend, a late night tradition. Join us in saying farewell to the Big Bumper.
I have a firm grip on things.
Okay. What we really wanted was Patty.
You want to read this email I received today? It kind of indicates what the...
I didn't bring my glasses either, Slim. This is going to be...
Wait a minute. Here you go.
Yeah, unfortunately,
Maybe I'll leave you a pair.
AOL doesn't have a Braille setting, but... All right.
Does that work?
Then I can get in here. Jim, words can't describe how much I appreciate hearing you for the last 20 years. Through all the changes in my life, one thing remains constant. I could go get a six-pack of beer and ride around and listen to you until 2. I'll be listening tonight, and I hope you have a great vacation.
He's all yours, John. He's yours now. You deal with him.
We hand it over to the host of the morning meeting and barbecue maven, Mr. Charles Brennan. Charles.
Thank you, John. Congratulations, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you, Charles.
We have made history tonight, folks. This is the first time in 30 years that Jim White has not hung up on a caller.
The night is not over.
Yeah, that's true. Mike Shannon is on the line.
Well, congratulations, Jim. You made it.
The crowd is getting unruly over here, Mike.
This is Bob Costas. Are you hosting the show?
No.
Are you guesting on the show?
No, I'm just sitting here being abused.
Where did Brennan go?
He has to get up in the morning.
I showed up so that he could go to the men's room, I guess. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Bob.
Does this end at midnight?
You still have your ears, I see?
I still have my ears. They're holding my glasses up.
Well, the broadcast ends at midnight, but the party continues.
I see.
Oh, I guess this is the point where I should get all sappy and so forth, but I really haven't. I'm kind of surprised that I didn't get a little more emotional than I do sometimes. But Pat and Heidi and Holly, those guys you married, Dan, Brian, love you all. Ann, Keith, thanks for coming in. And my neighbors who were kind enough not to cut the grass before 11 o'clock who are here tonight. And my boating friends who are kind enough not to start their engines before noon on a Saturday morning. Thank you all for coming out. It's been a hoot. It's been 30 years, and that's hard to believe that 30 years has gone by. But thank you, everybody.
He enjoyed
Jim White, ladies and gentlemen.
Retirement to the max. He really did. And that's what was so charming about the whole thing when these people asked him, are you Jim White? Well, I used to be, but he just he was ready to go off and do other things, and it was a nice retirement.
He was so smart. He could blend the brain of a journalist with a humorist and just look at the world in a funny way. And no, his ratings were fantastic. They were like in the 40s sometimes. He just had a different way of looking at things, and it made me appreciate him a lot more than I ever thought I would.
But I've noted two particular points I'd make, and the uncomfortable one is people often talk about how sometimes, occasionally, he's rude to a caller. It's only when I've been with him many times, when the caller is intolerant or bigoted, and Jim is intolerant of intolerance.
Or stupid.
He wanted that. He wanted people to think that. A lot of people were afraid of him. Even people who worked at the station in the newsroom, if he would come in during the day, people were kind of shy of him. But he got a kick out of that. He thought it was funny. He would tell me later, and he would laugh about it.
After he retired, and people, when we were in Alabama, and people would come from St. Louis and say, are you Jim White? And he would say, I used to be. And he was very comfortable with leaving that persona behind. He was famous in St. Louis, but he didn't care if it ended in his private life. That was not what he was all about.
And it's been a great run, and not falling off the end of the earth. I'll be around, back and forth.
Jim White spent 10 years in retirement with family, with friends, boating, and doing the things he loved. In a true testament to his lasting talent, to this day, many people still share stories of Jim and the memories they've had of listening to him on KMOX. He was one of the most unique radio broadcasters, not only in St. Louis, but across the country. And I hope you enjoyed this retrospective of his career and his life, told by the many people who cared about him. And a very special thanks to everyone that contributed to this project. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm your host, Ryan Recker.
Don't trust anyone who doesn't have at least two hobbies. Do two nice things for yourself every day. Never too late to have a happy childhood. And life is good. The Big Bumper leaves the building.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.